you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Tuesday being Testimony Tuesday. And Marianne, you know this about Testimony Tuesdays when we have a special guest in the studio. I love the time of sharing with the individual or the guests because we get to learn a little more in depth some of their faith journey, how God has worked in their lives throughout the years, maybe some of the interesting things they've seen God do or the provisions he's made, or just the means and methods that God brought them to himself.
I know. And I'm sort of thinking we should just start recording our conversations before and after, and I feel that particularly today with who we have.
Yeah, with us, joining us today on Testimony Tuesday is Pastor Brian Romanowski. He serves as the pastor at the First Baptist Church in Mahomet. And we have some mutual friends, acquaintances with Pastor Jason Schiffo and some of the great work that God's doing in and around the Mahomet area. Mm-hmm. But what's kind of interesting about your story and some of the things you'll share today is the fact that you only got a passport about 5 years ago, but in the short time you've served on some mission outreaches or mission opportunities in Puerto Rico, Kenya, Thailand, Myanmar, Costa Rica, and yet you served right here in the Mahomet area. And I'm going to let you choose where you want to jump in. Take us through a little of your faith journey, and then I know you have some special memories that you wanted to maybe share about some of these mission trips.
So I grew up in a small community, a rural community in northwestern Illinois. I grew up out in the country, worked on farms a lot growing up. We didn't live on a farm. We lived in the old schoolhouse that had served that area. So I was isolated out in the country, and we attended a small Baptist church, and it still exists today. Mm-hmm. It's a very small Baptist church now. My mother took us to church, my sister and I, and my grandparents were very strong Christians. So I grew up in the faith. I joined the military when I was 18 years old, went into the U.S. Air Force, spent 8 years in the Air Force. I ended up marrying my wife during that time. We had a son before I got out of the military, and during the time I was in the military, I was working on my education, graduated with a bachelor's from Eastern Illinois, and went on to work for Rockwell Automation, Allen Bradley. Mm. And worked for them for 13 years until I heard God calling me to ministry. And it was out of the blue, very unexpected. I was a part of a church in Normal, Illinois. That's where we lived at that time. I had worked in a couple of different offices over the years for Allen Bradley, but we were in Normal, Illinois at the time. And I taught Sunday school there, very engaged in the church and what we were doing in the community, and got involved with very active in disaster relief ministry while I was a part of that church. But I was on my way to a meeting one night in Milwaukee, and it was late at night. I was driving up I-39.
Now, was this a church meeting or a business meeting, like work-related?
It was a business meeting. Okay. I was part of the team that was trying to sell Quad Graphics on a big retrofit of their mm-hmm. printing presses, and I was the technical expert to help them sell this project. And so I was engaged thinking about the meeting the next day, and suddenly the words of Jesus to Peter from John 21 just popped into my head. If you love me, feed my sheep.
Oh, my.
And it wasn't just one time. It was repeated several times. And I hadn't been thinking about that passage, hadn't read that passage recently, hadn't heard a sermon on that passage.
Goodness.
It just suddenly was in my head, and it wouldn't go away. And so I didn't get a lot of sleep that night.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
I struggled with, why is God speaking to me with this passage right now? And I kept it to myself for a while, and it just wouldn't go away. So eventually I talked to my wife about it, and I said, I really feel like maybe God's calling me to ministry. And She was like, what?
Now, you had already been involved in ministry at the church and teaching Sunday school and probably yes. living out your Christian life in the workplace.
Yes.
But this was more of a full-time, totally engaged, okay, Lord, lead us, I guess.
Yes, and mm-hmm. and it really felt like God was calling me to leave what I was doing as an engineer and to go into ministry.
My goodness.
So we talked about it, and we prayed about it, and I felt like, well, I should talk to my pastor about it, which I did, and I didn't present it to him as I'm feeling this call to ministry. I opened the conversation with, I really feel like I should make a career change. And immediately, our pastor, Pastor Bill, he said, so you're considering going into ministry. So this was affirmation right. that God was calling me to ministry. And so from that point on, I took the steps that I felt like God was leading me to do. I began at Lincoln Christian Seminary and started taking classes there. I quit my job and ended up at First Baptist Church of Mahomet.
That's a faith walk right there.
I've been there 13 years now.
Not only a faith walk, but I'm thinking a sacrifice, because we talked with you, Pastor Brian, off air about being in the military and the very marginal or low wages that you received, and then getting into this career as an engineer and almost tripling your salary overnight.
And then deciding to do this.
And obviously getting maybe comfortable. And, hey, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. And, you know, having children and suddenly like, Lord, we need income. And this is a faith journey. And to step out into the unknown, especially at this point, how many children do you have?
We just have one.
Okay, just
one son.
Okay, one son.
Yeah, my wife, Julie, when I shared this with her and we talked about it, one of the things she said was, we can't lose 2/3 of our salary.
Oh,
what
yeah.
are we going to do for money? How
right.
are we going to live?
Of course she said that, yeah.
And so we really saw God do some amazing things, providing for us and
wow.
taking care of us along the way. I got a scholarship at Lincoln that helped us pay for that seminary education. And we had some good savings because I did make good money as an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in a good position, but it was still a big life change to go from where I was as an engineer to a pastor.
Well, it's a powerful thing to see someone follow God's leading like that, to hear what to do and do it.
It is a big step. And, you know, just this fact that you have to trust God.
You
have no control over what's happening. You just have to step out in faith and trust that God's going to take care of things.
I know, because now we know all of this about, you know, you're a pastor, you've gone on these amazing mission trips, you have all these stories you were talking about earlier over there, but you didn't know all that back then.
No. And in a lot of ways, I've just been amazed at the way, being a pastor, I've been a pastor of this small rural church, if you can call Mahomet rural.
Used to be able to, now it's upscaled.
Suburban,
yeah,
almost. But, yeah, the church is so gracious, and I've been able to take these mission trips. And working as an engineer, there was no way I'd be able to go on these mission trips that I've taken, especially doing disaster relief work at the last moment. There's a tornado or a flood, and we need people to come and help. And the church has been very gracious about when I ask, saying, okay.
And you've done a lot of that here in the United States.
Yes, yes. I had not traveled outside the United States until 5 years ago. I didn't have a passport, and purposely I didn't get one because my meant that I was going to go all over the world and not see my family, which was important to me. I didn't want to be away from my wife and son that long. Mm. But now I've had the opportunity to travel and really experience Christianity outside of the U.S. and what it looks like.
For those of you maybe just tuning in now thinking some of this sounds a bit familiar, but you're not sure why, because about 3 weeks ago, Kathleen Jennings was reading this story during our Prime Life Times in Review on Wednesday, I guess it was July 8th, and that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, but it was titled Ever Ready, part of Kathleen Jennings' From Generation to Generation series. And you were featured, I guess. She came and spent some time with you, and it was a fascinating story about being a Minuteman and many of your various missions trips and outreach, and you had talked about recently you returned from Costa Rica and then the things that you experienced or learned in Myanmar.
Yes, so I had been invited along with another pastor to go and be a part of a retreat. We know a missionary in Thailand. He's been there a long time. He's, over the past couple of years, been going into Myanmar. And he invited us to come and lead a retreat for English-speaking Baptist missionaries in Thailand. And there are quite a number of them. And across different Baptist flavors, so to speak. And so I had an opportunity to go there, and we led this retreat for 4 days in Thailand and got to meet some amazing missionaries who were especially working in human trafficking, which is a terrible issue in Thailand.
Yes, it is.
But then the missionary we were working with, he wanted to take us into Myanmar and do some training for some church leaders, pastors in Myanmar, because they don't get a lot of training because of the situation in Myanmar. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know anything about Myanmar, it is a closed country ruled by military government. Their leader, their elected leader, last elected leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, was deposed by the military government, and they would not allow her to serve. And then a few years ago, she couldn't be the president of the country or prime minister. I'm not sure how all that works, but she was like a state advisor to the military government. And Myanmar has been a pretty dark place for a long time.
Yes, it has.
They had sent all the missionaries out back in the 60s. But we know a missionary in Thailand. He's been there a long time. He's, over the past couple of years, been going into Myanmar, has been working there with church leaders and helping to grow the church in Myanmar in an area called the Eastern Shan State. And on our way there, when we crossed the border, one of the things that happens is we had to give up our passports. And I had always been told,
oh my,
you never give up
no.
your passport. But we had to give our passports at the border and then travel with a guide so that the military government had someone that could basically escort us where we were supposed to go so that we didn't do anything we weren't supposed to. And we had to stay in places that the government authorized. We couldn't stay in people's homes. We couldn't travel outside of certain areas. So we had an opportunity to meet with several church leaders. And one of the church leaders had talked about how his pastor had been rounded up with over 200 other pastors over a year before that. And they had been put in prison and told that they would be released when they signed a document that said, we renounce our faith, we will no longer practice our faith. And so these pastors had been tortured and imprisoned for over a year now. And it made me realize we don't realize how good we have it in the U.S. What persecution really looks like.
They didn't sign the papers. They're still there.
They're still in prison.
Oh, my.
Yes. But the church is growing in Myanmar. There are a lot of committed Christians in Myanmar. It's amazing that the work that they're doing to reach out, because it's primarily a Buddhist country. Mm-hmm. And so the church has really grown in terms of Christianity, even in the midst of all this persecution.
Oh, that's humbling. Praise God for those people.
Can you take us back on your faith journey? You said you grew up with Christian grandparents, Christian parents, attending church. But when did that faith of Jesus being your personal Savior, someone that forgave you of your sins, somebody that bridged that gap between sinful child or sinful individual and a holy God? Because there might be somebody tuning in kind of confused. How do you become a Christian? Is it just growing up in a Christian home? Is it being in Christian America, if you will? Or is it because I go to church once in a while? What was the defining point where you felt like you belonged to the family of God?
So I'd grown up in a Christian home and a Christian family, but I really didn't feel like the faith was mine until I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. I was at a Christian camp in Oregon, Illinois, and I really felt like God was speaking to me directly while I was there through some of the talks that we had had. And so I, at that point, started reading my Bible because I wanted to know more about Jesus than just what I heard on Sunday mornings or what we talked about in youth group. Like, I really wanted to know this Jesus personally. And so it was shortly after that experience that I really began to understand I was a sinful person. I needed God's forgiveness. And the only way to get that was through giving my life to Jesus, who was the one that died to save us from our sins. And so I made that commitment, went to our pastor at the time and was baptized and became a believer. And I haven't always lived out that faith as well as I would have liked over the years. But
it's a big group.
Yeah.
It's a big group of us.
I think every single one of our listeners that follow Jesus is raising their hands. That's me too, Pastor.
It's a struggle. And every day we have to say, I'm going to live as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, and I'm going to be that person that Jesus called me to be, the one that loves God and loves other people and wants to make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, at times, I've done well at that. Over the years, at times, I've not done so well at that. But I've really committed myself, especially now in ministry, that I'm going to do everything I can to glorify God and to live out His call to make disciples. And that is a call that we have to go to all nations. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of my life, I didn't realize what that meant. And so over the past 5 years, I've tried more and more to live that out. And the experience in Myanmar was definitely an eye-opening
one. Oh, yeah. Wow.
I can say this with some confidence. I think Francis Chen would say he's proud of you. I only quote him because I'm reading a book called Multiply. And over again, he mentions the importance of making disciples and being intentional in your relationship with God. And I've heard you say through our conversations before this program and then during the program about making disciples, you know, seeking God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and yet also reaching our neighbors, communicating the good news message of Jesus, but not just proclaiming it, trying to get involved in people's lives, discipling, nurturing them along in their faith, equipping them. Is that part of your calling as a pastor? Do you feel like not only to preach and declare God's good news message of Jesus, but to assist them in growing so they become disciple makers themselves? What do you see your role as a pastor?
Well, I take Paul's words in Ephesians 4 very seriously, that pastors are, as you mentioned, people who are supposed to equip others for ministry, that we are not supposed to be paid to do all the ministry, that we are only preparing others for their ministry role. And that the church has a mission, and that mission is the mission that Jesus gave it before he left this earth in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you.
Hey, we got to get him on Memorization Monday. I think he had that memorized here. No notes in front of him, everyone.
Well, I can just feel that you believe that in your core.
Absolutely. I did my doctoral thesis on disciple making, it's an integral part of who I am
and
integral part of the ministry that I try to do. And I hope every person in the church that I pastor can also tell you that the mission of the church is to make disciples.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Brian, I want to say thank you for following God's voice to you and becoming a pastor. Thank you, and thank you for your care for people in Myanmar. It's beautiful.
Now, earlier you mentioned one of your favorite verses. Now, you're probably like a lot of pastors or people that love God's word. Maybe the favorite verse changes because God impresses this one on your heart this week or this one this week, or because of the context, it's like, wow, I'm passionate about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 right now. But you had mentioned a verse earlier. I can't remember what it was, but what are some of your favorite verses and why?
Well, the Great Commission is definitely one of those, but along with that, what Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And that, to me, speaks volumes to what we as Christians should be called to do, to speak the gospel publicly and often to people around us so that they can know the love of Jesus and know the salvation that he brings.
That's just a powerful scripture. I am not ashamed. Just that part of the gospel.
And I know you were talking about this pastor that has been detained for over a year, probably tortured, probably...
I just can't hardly stand
it. I mean, not only the physical torture, but the mental and emotional torture of being away from family or being told you either sign this paper renouncing your faith in Jesus or you stay stuck in this prison. Who knows what kind of food or mistreatment he's experiencing. But that so impressed you because you think, gosh, look at how good we have it in the United States. Yeah, not everything's perfect, but how hard for us to identify with real suffering like that.
That man's not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
Yes, and that's the thing that stands out. He's not ashamed of his faith, and he won't renounce his faith. And put in the same position, I can't say what I would do, you know, being tortured and imprisoned and away from your family.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to think that I would say, yeah, I'm going to stand up for my faith. But until you're in that situation, it's hard to say what that experience is like and how you're going to respond to it. But God give him strength and the others who are in that position. Because, as you said, Marianne, they're not ashamed of the gospel. And we in this country should not be ashamed of the gospel either and should be proclaiming it every opportunity that we have.
Pastor Brian, how about closing out our program in prayer? Prayer for those that maybe are far from God and feel like they need to turn their lives around. To those that maybe are far from God and don't feel his love or acceptance. To the senior saint that's rejoicing in another testimony that affirms them in their faith. But pray for those that are tuned in today that they can connect with God in various ways.
Okay, thank you. Father, we just come to you saying you are God and we are not, and that we are broken people living in a broken world, and sometimes people are hurting and suffering, especially during this time of uncertainty and difficulty and trials. And Lord, we pray that whatever is said today will be used by you to glorify and honor your name, but also to encourage and lift up people, to help them in their faith and allow them to see that you are at work in our world, that you haven't abandoned us, even in the midst of this pandemic, that you are at work trying to strengthen us and grow our faith. And Lord, for those who may not know you or feel far away from you, Lord, draw them near to you today. And for those who have stood in their faith for many years, those senior saints, Lord, continue to encourage them to be the examples of who you are and to show others your love and courage. And Lord, for those who are around the world not ashamed of who you are and not ashamed to speak your name, Lord, continue to provide for them and encourage them and strengthen them, especially those who are directly persecuted because of their faith. And I remember those who are in Myanmar right now. And Lord, we just ask for your supernatural help to help them get through the difficulties that they face, but also to continue to witness and to be a light that shines in the darkness of this world around us. God, you are good. You give us all we need each and every day. We may have wants, but you are the God who provides for our needs. Mm-hmm. And Lord, thank you for all you do, especially this salvation that we enjoy through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.